Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Stephen McGarva is the kind of guy who moved to Puerto Rico to seek out a life of adventure. Instead, he found something completely different. And a bit of a warning, what you're about to hear is somewhat graphic. He found this.
The horse looked like it had been blown open, its blood, sinews, and viscera scattered across the white sand. Through the cloud of swarming flies, I saw the movement inside the obliterated torso. A small puppy lazily stretched its legs out amid the entrails. It had crawled inside the dead horse to fend off the morning chill. I reached inside the mare's carcass and grabbed the puppy. She wiggled and squeaked, and she looked up into my eyes, surprised to see me. A sickly sweet blood and horse smell wafted off of her. She yawned and nosed my damp hand.
So began another day at Playa Lucia, or what came to be known as Dead Dog Beach. McGarva came to be known as the, quote, crazy gringo who spent thousands of dollars in every moment of his waking time helping and healing hundreds of abused stray dogs and eventually trying to find them homes in the U.S. McGarva's crusade drew both wanted and unwanted attention, and he writes about it in his new book, The Rescue at Dead Dog Beach, One Man's Quest to Find a Home for the World's Forgotten Animals. Stephen McGarva joins us now. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. So you moved many years ago to Puerto Rico with your wife because of her job.
Yeah.
Becoming a dog rescuer was never what you had intended on doing. So how did you first, tell us the story of how you first ran into some of these abused strays on the beaches of Puerto Rico.
So yeah, I mean, as much as I'd like to say that it was some big heroic crusade that I set out to do, it just wasn't. I went there to kitesurf. I'd gone on Google Earth seeking out the best place to surf, found a great location, pretty isolated, remote, figured nobody had gone there before. I liked that experience, charging forward in a new area. As I dropped my wife off at work that morning, drove to that beach area, looking at the map, down this isolated road, got out thinking it was going to be fantastic, looking around for anything that could be obstructions or get hurt on the beach, snag a line, saw in the near distance what looked like a bunch of coconut husks. And so I thought, okay, they're a hazard. So I dropped my gear, walked towards these husks that I was going to move, and realized it was a dog just laying in the sand. Just as I neared the dog raised its head, wagged its tail, looked like a child's stick figure drawing. The dog was emaciated, just ruined looking. And that was the beginning of my journey at that beach. And I never got into kitesurfing, never did anything beyond helping the dogs at that point.
What was it about what you found that made you decide that you were going to do what we talked about, like spend thousands of dollars every moment of your waking life, and we'll talk about this in a moment, even having to face threats from people who didn't like the work you were doing trying to rescue these dogs? I mean, that's quite a commitment.
I would love to say that there was that moment where it didn't cross my mind, okay, I'm out of here. There's 1,000 great other beaches that I could go to. But, you see something that's desperate and you can see in its eyes that it needed me. And if I did turn my back on it, it would be a decision that I would regret the rest of my life. And it may seem like an exaggerated statement, but it is my character. I mean, when I was a young person right out of high school, I really didn't think I would live that long for a lot of reasons, doing sports and doing the things I did. But I decided to leave my mark on the world early by volunteering at refugee camps in Southeast Asia. And I hadn't done anything that I felt world-worthy or legacy-worthy in a long time. And I'd been sort of whining about that internally, felt dry in my artwork and whatnot. And this suddenly is facing me, and I thought, I can't turn my back.
Yeah.
And it all happened in a matter of seconds, that thought process.
Now, I read somewhere that and I hope I get this number right, some 250,000 strays in Puerto Rico in, what, just 5 shelters?
Yeah, and those shelters actually are only newer in existence. Most of the shelters that were existing on the island were nonprofits and taking care of things, and that's part of the problem that I accidentally stumbled onto. The shelters weren't in existence.
Mm. But you eventually, as you were trying to tend to these dogs and find them new homes in the United States, amongst other places, you got some pushback from locals there. What happened?
Yeah, I really didn't plan on exposing anybody's wrongdoings or anybody for doing anything other than just getting rid of a dog. People make mistakes and make bad choices. But these dogs had clearly been abused. It wasn't just a scratch on their back from sliding under a fence when they ran away. These were really horrific wounds, like dogs had had hot oil thrown on them or a machete chop. It wasn't a little scratch. And so it was a little suspicious, but I didn't know the background of the dogs. But I started getting a lot of pushback. You know, I was being watched and I felt, geez, am I just being paranoid or what? But, you know, it came to be that, you know, I started getting direct threats from people.
Well, I mean, there's a scene in your book where you write about that you and a friend were, I can't remember if scuba diving or snorkeling.
Snorkeling,
and you come up out of the water and there are men surrounding you with tridents.
Yeah, homemade tridents. And, you get that sense that somebody's watching you. And that was that feeling. I've always been good with my sixth sense. And so I got that sense somebody's watching. I surface, look up, and there's these guys towering over us, and they're standing in shoes on the coral reef. They know it like the back of their hand, like a road map. And it's a maze for us to get in and out of swimming with the water surge. And I tried to make light of it and befriend the guys. They wanted nothing to do with it. And, you know, I got poked in the back. And, you know, by the time we ended up getting back to shore, they had robbed us and then challenged us to even get back to my vehicle, which we made a run for and did make it, fortunately.
I mean, it seemed as if people were concerned about the attention that you were bringing to this problem internationally, right? Because you went on the Ellen Show and talked about it. And especially in a place like Puerto Rico, where tourism is so very important to the economy. And on top of that, I'm wondering if you also got the sense that part of the reason why you were getting a lot of pushback was, you know, you're not a native Puerto Rican. People were maybe justifiably saying, you don't understand how things work here. Don't impose your values on us.
Yep. And I think I tried to be really sensitive to that, too. When I was interviewed by the Univision reporter Susan Saltero, she did a quick spin which caught me off guard at one point. She said, well, how do you feel? Are you angry with the locals and the Puerto Rican people? Here you are, a gringo, a tourist on our island, and you're having to pick up our mess. And they said, no, that's not the message that I'm trying to present. I just think that doing the right thing is contagious. And if I do the right thing, the next person will do the right thing, and so on. And afterwards, she said, wow, that was really well done. I didn't mean to catch you off guard. But I said, people don't hear you when you're yelling at them, and people don't hear when you're threatening them. They turn off and they'll do their own thing and push back. And that's not my intention. I just want to help the dogs and encourage people to do the right thing by them. But the next morning, I arrive at the beach and to a couple dozen of my dogs hung, you know, pretty clear message to me.
Hmm.
So
how many dogs were you able to rescue before your family ended up having to leave Puerto Rico?
So with the first year I spent completely alone with the dogs on the beach. So one full year by myself, only keeping them alive, getting them healthy, training them, getting them home ready, hopefully, not having an ultimate plan. And then several individuals and a couple of rescue groups got involved with me after a lot of pleading and crying on my part. And we got about 270 plus dogs off the island in a very short period of time at that point.
And your group is you're not really affiliated with it anymore. There are several other groups that also do the same kind of thing, with rescue
Absolutely.
Dogs from Puerto Rico and bring them to the United States. I mean, how would you say that whole process is going now?
So I think what I stirred, I definitely poked the bee's nest. And then a couple of other incidents that were really, really big and got Puerto Rico a lot of negative exposure, like the Barceloneta dog massacre, where they, Animal Control Solutions, you know, just raided this low-income housing development and took all of their dogs and then threw them alive off of a bridge. And that became international news after me getting run off the island. And it validated everything that I'd been complaining about and trying to get attention to. And at that point, everybody wanted to help. Before that, I've got emails to prove nobody wanted to help, and I was just a whining, crying gringo. And it got a lot of international attention, and more groups are now involved.
And now, as we said, there are several groups who are doing this work every day in Puerto Rico. Well, Stephen McGarva, author of The Rescue at Dead Dog Beach, One Man's Quest to Find a Home for the World's Forgotten Animals. Thank you so much for sharing your story and for coming in today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate your time.
Listeners, Stephen McGarva will be speaking at the Concord Bookshop on September 7th at 3 p.m. There's more information about that at our website, radioboston.org. Stick with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.